Hello, I'm Don Henry. I'm speaking from Bournemouth, and I've been asked to speak on the importance of Israel, obviously from a divine perspective. I'd like to split this up into four parts: Israel's foundation, Israel's function, Israel's failure, and Israel's future. So we take each stage as it comes. I'm going to be reading some scriptures, and I'm going to be referring to a lot more as well, which I can leave you to check through yourselves if you wish. So first of all, in the actual foundations, we're going to be looking at the everlasting unconditional covenants. But first of all, I'm going to read from a psalm. I'm going to read from Psalm 105, from verses 6 through to 12, and I'll read them now. Psalm 106, verse 5 to 12, verse 6 to 12. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, that's a mighty long time, say 40,000 years. The covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance, when they were but few in number, indeed very few, but strangers in it. So there's a promise. You can see the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, renewed it with Isaac, and continued with Jacob. Well, the covenant that God made with Abraham, an unconditional one, was one of three covenants. The first one, of course, with Abraham. The next one with David, and the next one is called the New Covenant in Jeremiah 31. We'll refer to that later. With Abraham, of course, Genesis 12 and verse 15, you promised him a land and a great number of population, and out of him the Messiah would come. But in chapter 15, the Lord put Abraham to sleep, and the cut animals divided up. God went through those, through the covenanted animals sacrificed there, and Abraham was fast asleep, and God made promises for Abraham, which were quite unconditional. There were no conditions that Abraham had to fulfill. And the same with David in 2 Samuel 7 and Psalm 89, where David referred to it in the psalm, that he promised him a king to sit on David's throne for perpetuity. That is when Christ returns, of course. And the new covenant is well known, Jeremiah 31 to 33. One thing unique about Israel is called God's special treasure. And this mentioned four times: Exodus 19, verse 5, Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, Deuteronomy 14, verse 2 in the New King James, and Psalm 135, verse 4. God's special treasure is Israel. But never once is the church called a treasure, not in all of the 21 letters of the New Testament. And even despite Israel's constant and consistent disobedience through their history, these are unconditional statements by the God of Israel. And of course, these references have nothing to do with the church, because you will not find the church in the Old Testament. It began on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus said, I will build my church, future. So please do not confuse the church with Israel, or even the attempt to replace Israel with the church. And you can find the clear references there. I won't turn to them. Time is at a premium. In 1 Corinthians 10:32, Galatians 6, verse 16, where clearly are three different types of people: Israel, the Gentiles, and the church, of course. But in Isaiah 43, a wonderful book of prophecy, so much about Israel, past, present, and especially future. Isaiah 43, verse 1, and I'll read the verse. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Isaiah 43, verse 1, very clear. Israel belongs to the Lord. That doesn't change. Back in Exodus 24, verse 22, Exodus 4, 22, the Lord says, Israel is my son, my firstborn son. That's a very unique position. And of course, that's an unconditional statement as well. That doesn't change. In Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 to 9, there's something very specific and unique about this, where it says God's special treasure is above all peoples on the face of the earth. Well, that's something unique and very special. Verse 6 says, Israel is a chosen people, a nation with an inheritance unconditionally given. And that particularly relates to the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. We'll look at Jerusalem later. So that is God's unconditional foundations for the state and nation of Israel. Let's consider, why did God choose Israel? What is Israel's function? Well, first thing, it was called to be a worshiping nation, to obey the Lord and to serve the Lord in his unique way. And of course, that in the past succeeded somewhat, but then they failed, as we know. So they were called to worship God in through the tabernacle when it was erected, and later on the temple. And that is a place where the Lord said, I will be there. As 43 in verse 10 says, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me. So that implies relationship. And you will understand that I am he. In Psalm 105 verses 1 and 2, Israel was called to make known his deeds among the peoples. That's the peoples, of course, of the nations. They were a witnessing people, as well as a worshiping people, and a working people. And in Isaiah 12, verse 6, they were to talk of all his wondrous works. And the wonderful thing is that, as this is written so long ago, of course, but in the future, and Isaiah 66 especially refers to the future that Israel, Isaiah 66, 19 to 21, I'll read them in a moment, they were called to be the witnesses in the millennium. So let me turn to Isaiah 66 very quickly. And Isaiah 66 is a reference we want. Turning to it now. And Isaiah 66, 19 to 21, I'll read the verses. The Lord says, I will set a sign among the nations, and those among them who escape, I will send to the nations, Tarshish, Pool, Lud, and many other nations there, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles who have not seen my glory. And they're going to bring all the rest of the Jewish people back into Israel, of course, to his holy mountain Jerusalem. And verse 21, key verse, I will also take some of them for priests and Levites. That's a worshipping servants of the Lord. Now that's future, as it speaks about the millennium in particular. So that was Israel's function. But then, of course, came the sad time with Israel's failure. When they were disobedient, they worshipped idols, worshipped Baal, and so on, and the foreign gods of Molech. And, of course, they were exiled and then dispersed, as we know, until the 20th century, until they came back and established the nation of Israel in May 1948, recaptured East Jerusalem in June 7th, 1967. And that became quite a stable thing for the nation of Israel. And with the failure came the dispersion, as we know, both Israel in the north, 722 BC, and Judah and Benjamin in the south in 586 BC, in the days of Jeremiah. So they were exiled and they were dispersed among the nations, as we know. But in the scriptures, I like to refer to two important passages, which are often ignored completely, especially by Christians who can't see a future for Israel. And I'm going to Ezekiel now. In Ezekiel, two places there in Ezekiel. First of all, in chapter 10 of Ezekiel, and I'm going to read these verses, they're very important. This is when the glory of the Lord left the temple before Judah was taken into exile by the Babylonians. In Ezekiel 10 and verse 4, we read this. As the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah, left in stages from the temple right through to the Mount of Olives and gone eastwards. Ezekiel 10:4, then the glory of the Lord went up from the church, from the cherub, and passed over the threshold of the temple, stage 1. The house was filled with the cloud, the Shekinah glory, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. That's in chapter 10, verse 4. And I'm going to move on down to verse 18, next stage of departure. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels were beside them and so on. They stood at the door of the east gate, next stage of departure of the Lord's house, and the glory of the Lord God of Israel was above them. Now going over into chapter 11 of Ezekiel, we could look in verse 23, and the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city, next stage, and stood on the mountain, that's the Mount of Olives on the east, which is on the east side of the city. So the glory of the Lord left in stages from the temple, from the city walls, and from the Mount of Olives, and went eastwards. And people are saying, well, that's God finished with this. Ah, but there is one thing that's very easily forgotten. That is the promised return of the Shekinah glory. Now, moving on into Ezekiel, I'll do this now because it's connected with the departure. In Ezekiel chapter 43, Ezekiel 43, check this out yourself. And in chapter 43, I'm looking at verse 2. This is Ezekiel's testimony. The Lord brought him to the gate that faces the east. Verse 2, Ezekiel 43, and behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east. That's where he left last. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. Moving on to verse 4, and the glory of the Lord came into the temple. That's the millennial temple. That's the last chapters of Ezekiel about the temple and about Israel. And it says, he came into the temple, the millennial temple, by the way of the gate, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. There's the restored stage there. Verse 5, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple, reversing all those stages. Now move on to chapter 44, just one verse 7, which I'm reading, chapter 44, verse 7. And it's important there that the Lord, verse 4, that the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face. Ezekiel 44, verse 4. So there you have the stages of the return of the glory. That means Israel has a future. Very important. So now let's look at Israel's future. The glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory, is coming back to the millennial temple. That's the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah, Redeemer, King of Israel, who will be there ruling, as Zechariah tells us later on. So remember that Israel is not a forgotten nation, as in Isaiah 44, 21 to 23. We won't have time to look at it. Now consider Israel's future. Oh, yes. The fulfillment of these covenants. Go back to that. Abrahamic covenant, unconditional. The Davidic covenant, unconditional. Promise to David, you have a son to take up his throne eventually in posterity. And then the promise of the new covenant, Jeremiah 31 to 33, which we'll look at later on. So these are the covenants unconditionally God must fulfill concerning the land, Jerusalem, the people, and the Lord's return to be their king. But these then are unconditional covenants. They must be fulfilled. Deuteronomy 28:13, back there says, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail among the nations. Well, they've been the tail nation for a long, long time. But the Lord says, I'm going to make you a head nation. You're going to be my witnessing people, my worshiping people yet again when the king is back. These are important. You should be above the nations and not beneath them anymore. Isaiah 4 speaks very wonderfully about the future as well of the millennium. I'm going back to Isaiah chapter 4. Wonderful book of prophecy concerning Israel. Of course, the church is not even mentioned in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 4, going back there quickly, I'm going to read verses 2 to 5. Isaiah 4, 2 to 5. In that day, the branch of the Lord, and the branch is the Lord Jesus Christ, that's another good study. He shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion, Israel, and he who remains in Jerusalem, will be called holy. There's a change. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The promise there for a future of Israel, a redeemed people, when they see whom they pierced, to mourn and repent and believe, a remnant, one third, Zechariah 13:8-9. And there, there's a promise, there will be those among those living in Jerusalem will be called holy. Very important. I usually refer to Isaiah 45:17 here about the everlasting nature of the future of Israel. Isaiah 45:17, I'll read it. Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. How long is that? Everlasting, permanent, eternal. You shall not be ashamed, and they have been for centuries, or disgraced forever and ever. Now, way back in the Old Testament, the writings of Moses in Leviticus, I like to refer to that, to it's relevant to it. In Leviticus 26, verses 44 and 45. Yeah, for all that when they are in the land of their enemies, and they've been there a long time, I will not cast them away. He remembers his covenant, you see. Nor shall I abhor them to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them. He won't break his covenant. For I am the Lord God. But for their sake, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt, Hebrews. I will be their God. I am the Lord. That's very clear, written so long ago by Moses, 3,500 years ago. Still true today, of course. So those things are very important. Same in Joel 2, verse 32. I won't read that now. So there's going to be a regathering of the Jewish people. Well, we know that from the 20th century onwards. And it'll be followed by the regeneration of the people of Israel. Again, Isaiah, an important book of prophecy, in chapter 51 and verse 3. The Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden. Well, that's happening today agriculturally. And her desert like the garden of the Lord. Now, once again, I'm going to refer to some scriptures in Isaiah 43. Going back to there, Isaiah 43. And I'm going to read verses 5 through to 7. Isaiah 43:5-7. Fear not, for I'm with you. I will bring your descendants from the east, think of Russia, and gather you from the west, many nations here, and I will say to the north, Russia, give them up, to the south, Ethiopia, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. They're going to be glorifying Israel. Israel is going to be glorifying the Lord. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Very important verses. I'm going to read on into Zephaniah now. It's not a book we don't often read, but the book is briefly three chapters of Zephaniah, a prophet. Let's see what he says about the future of Israel. Zephaniah 3:14-20. I'll read these verses, they're quite long. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. That's the second coming of the Lord. So that's the key timing. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst on his return. You shall see disaster no more. That'll be a change. In that day, to be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I bet he's got a wonderful voice. I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly who are among you, to whom its reproach is a burden. They've had reproach for centuries. Behold, at that time, when it comes, I will save the lame. I will deal with all those who afflict you and gather those who are driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they are put to shame. What a change that will be. At that time, I will bring you back, even at the time I gather you, for I will give you fame and praise. That'll be a difference. Among all the peoples of the earth, they're going to be as witnesses, as I said before. When I return your captive before your eyes, says the Lord, they've been captive among the nations for a very long time, shall we say. Very important verses there. in Jeremiah 23, verse 3, it says, I will gather the remnant, same as here in Zephaniah, out of all the countries where I have driven them, and he did, and bring them back to their own folds. One aspect of Israel, of course, Israel is called the fig tree, among the three titles of Israel, as the fig and the olive and the vine. But here we've got the fig tree, which is mentioned by the Lord Jesus in Matthew and in Luke, where the budding of the fig tree, says Jesus, is a sign of the rebirth of a national Israel, not spiritual Israel, national Israel. Well, of course, that's true. Middle of May, 1948, the budding of the fig tree. It all fits there in Matthew 24, verses 32 to 34, and Luke 21, 29 to 33. So the Jewish people, as you know, for well over 100 years now, have been returning to their land in preparation for their return to the Lord. That's all in stages. Now I'm going to, you know, Ezekiel 37, the valley of the dry bones, you know that very well, and that relates to the physical life of Israel once again. But I want to read in the book of Amos, chapter 9. Amos, chapter 9. Right at the very end of chapter 9, the last few verses of Amos 9, and that is 13 to 15. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. So that clearly future, certainly developments in the agricultural side of Israel in plenty. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities, inhabit them, plant vineyards, drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens, eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, note this, and no longer shall they be pulled up. Therefore, that's future. From the land that I have given them, part of the land covenant, unconditional promise to Abraham, says the Lord your God. Important scriptures there. Very important scriptures. In Romans chapter 11, the three chapters concerning the nation of Israel, chapter 9 from the past, 10 current Jewish situation, and chapter 11 about Israel in the future. And I would like to read some of the verses at the end of Romans 11, 24 onwards. It says about the reference to the olive now. You were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, that's Gentiles, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, but we're grafted in as Gentile believers in Christ into the blessings of Israel. Not into Israel, but into their blessings. How much more will these natural branches, the Jewish people, be grafted into their own olive tree once again? Well, there's a promise overlooked so often. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits and opinions, that hardening in part, not totally, in part, has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so Israel will be saved, as is written. Deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Later on, we're going to see that the Lord forgives them permanently, continually. So there's important untils in Scripture. This is one of them. Until the full number of Gentiles have come into Christ, the true church completed, Jew and Gentile, then God will resume his plans for Israel once again in his purposes. So there's a regathering of Israel happening, of course, and finally the regeneration of Israel, the new spiritual birth here. And when they see whom they pierced, they repent, they will mourn, and they will be saved, and there will be the regeneration. I'm going to refer to Ezekiel back there again now in Ezekiel 16. It's often these prophets, the major prophets and minor prophets, are so often neglected to our loss. Really, there's so much richness promised in these prophets. In Ezekiel chapter 16, I'm reading verses 59 to the end. For thus says the Lord God, I will deal with you as you have done, who despise the oath by breaking the covenant. Yes, now watch. Nevertheless, even so, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, way back to Abraham. I will establish an everlasting covenant with you, Abraham. Then you remember your ways and be ashamed. When you receive your older and your younger sisters, I will give them to you for daughters and sons. Because of my covenant, I will establish my covenant with you, verse 62. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. That's future. That you may remember and be ashamed. Never open your mouth anymore because of your shame. For I have provided an atonement. All you have done, says the Lord God. Isn't that wonderful? The merciful, forgiving nature of God, the chesed of the New Testament. Loving, tender-hearted mercies and kindness of the Lord, that is. So Israel is an everlasting nation, God remembering his covenants with them, and there are unconditional covenants too. Jeremiah 31:3 says this, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you, and I will build you, listen to this, O virgin of Israel. Now, Israel has been called an adulterous wife in the Old Testament, spiritually worshipping idols and breaking their marriage covenant with the Lord God of Israel. But he says, I am going to make you a virgin again. Now, that's physically, miraculously impossible. But the Lord says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make you a spiritual virgin again. No longer will you worship anyone else or turn to the nations. And of course, that new covenant, which is promised in Jeremiah 31 to 34, you know it well, but apply it to Israel first, please. I know we've been under the precious blood of the new covenant, we know that. But this is very important. And I'd like just to have a look at Jeremiah 31, going back from Ezekiel to Jeremiah chapter 31. And read a few verses there. You may be familiar with some of them, but the later verses, beyond the promise of the new covenant in 31, 33, there's this in verse 35. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars for light by night, who disturbs the seas, waves roll, the Lord hosts his name. If those ordinances, sun, moon, stars, sea, if they depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Is that likely in the present creation situation? Never. The sun, the moon, the stars, the seas, all with us. And will be for the time being. Verse 37, he gives you another argument. If heaven above can be measured, can we? Don't think we can measure the universe. And the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, can you get to the hot center of the earth? I don't think so. If you can do that, it says, I will then cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, and they have done a lot against God. But if you can measure those, then I cast Israel off. I don't think that's likely. Well, those are very wonderful scriptures, aren't they? And so often they're neglected as well. It's a permanence of the nation of Israel. Very important indeed. And Hosea. Now, Hosea is a very wonderful picture of the Lord's chesed, everlasting kindness and love for the nation of Israel. Pictured particularly in the life and marriage of Hosea, as he married Gomer, who went away from him, committed immorality and prostitution, ended up, of course, in the slave market. And Hosea only bought her back for half the price of a slave, 15 shekels, and restored her. And this is a picture particularly of God's merciful love and forgiving nature for the nation of Israel. And I'd like to turn to Hosea, if I may, going a bit forward into the prophets, of course. After Daniel, we've got Hosea. So I'm Hosea chapter 2. And this is a picture of the Lord bringing Israel out of the wilderness. In chapter 2 of Hosea 14, I will allure her, bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her a vineyard from there in the valley of Achor, the door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up the land of Egypt. It shall be in that day, says the Lord, then you will call me husband, and no longer call me my master. That's my Baal. No, wonderful. As a promise is there. And in chapter 3, while we're there, in wonderful promises in chapter 3, speaking about the nation of Israel. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. Yes, they don't know Christ. Without sacrifice, pillar, or ephod, or teraphim. Afterwards, after what? After the church age. The children of Israel shall return, seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. And go on to chapter 5 at the end, 15. I'll return again to my place, the Lord's come back to heaven, till they acknowledge their offense, till they seek my face, and in their affliction, great tribulation, they will diligently seek me. Then Israel's reply to what the Lord has said, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn, he will heal us. He has stricken, he will bind us up. After 2 days, 2 millennia, he will revive us. And on the third day, the millennium, he will raise us up, that we might live in his sight. So let us pursue, let us go on to the knowledge of the Lord. He will come to us like the latter rain. Wonderful scriptures these are. And those are very important ones to consider as well. My time is going on. But God remembers what he has never forgotten, of course. And God is jealous over Zion, over Jerusalem. This is in Zechariah 1 and 2. The Lord will take possession of Judah once again as his inheritance. This is his land. Isaiah 8, verse 8, this is your land, O Emmanuel. We know who Emmanuel is, the Lord Jesus. The land belongs to him, and he'll give it to whom he will. These are important scriptures. Land of Israel belongs to the Lord, and he will keep it as his inheritance. It's his piece of real estate, and he's coming back. So we're called to remind the Lord and to just seek his face in Isaiah 62, that we are the Lord's remembrances, like God's secretaries, to remind him that he's got an appointment to keep for the nation of Israel. These are important scriptures. Zechariah 14:9. The Lord shall be king over all the earth, his feet standing again on the Mount of Olives. He will destroy Israel's enemies. And these are so important. At the end of Ezekiel 48, concerning Jerusalem, the name of that city will be called the Lord is there. In chapter 66 of Isaiah, Israel shall declare my glory among the nations. Zechariah 8:23, men among the nations shall say to the Jewish man, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. That's the millennial scene. Remember Luke 1:32 and 33, that the Lord will be king over the nation of Israel in the future. That's important. I'd like to end with those verses. In Luke chapter 1, 20, Luke chapter 1, 32 and 33, just turning on to them. Luke chapter 1, 32 and 33. These are the words to Mary, as you well know. So often they are read at Christmas that they miss the whole point there. Luke 1, 32 and 33, the word to Mary from the messenger. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, fulfilling the Davidic covenant. He will reign over the house of Jacob, that's Israel, forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Wonderful. Well, there it is. I trust the Lord has blessed you as you looked at the purposes of the Lord for Israel, the importance of Israel from God's viewpoint. Thank you very much.